Let's get back to Consult Us on Business on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Frank Visconti.
Welcome back to the show. Our guest today is one of the top political speechwriters in the country, as well as a respected political consultant. He is an adjunct professor at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Communications. He's been a featured on-air commentator on ABC News, NBC News, Fox News Channel, and CNN. He has authored remarks for former President Ronald Reagan and was the leading speechwriter for California Governor Pete Wilson. He's written numerous articles in major newspapers throughout the country. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you Jonathan Wilcox. Jonathan, are you there?
Right here, Frank. Great to be here. And now, even with that intro, I think now I've hit the big time.
I always miss speaking.
It took a while, but here I am.
Well, you know, you have earned this over the many, many years that you have served the U.S. political system. And we are going to pick your brain a little bit today. And, of course, we're going to try to skew our conversation in favor of Americans and jobs and creating new businesses here in America. But
wouldn't that be a switch from the current debate?
Okay, now don't get ahead of my questions here because that's perfectly fine because that has been one of my challenges as well. But first, let's just start off a little bit by letting us know what you're up to these days and give us a little background on what you're touching.
Well, what I'm doing these days and is really, I think, in a sense, what you were talking about earlier, which is sort of understanding and navigating the future direction. I mean, we're finding ourselves in a place I think we've never been. And I think I sort of saw, I was thinking about it the other night, sort of what I think was the canary in the coal mine. I can remember in 2007, 2008, the first time I ever saw law firms and government affairs professionals begin to cut back severely, lay off lawyers, law firms going away, practitioners going away who related to the public sector, which related mostly to real estate and finance. And they were going away even before the what we call now the economic crisis was happening. And I think what it related to, and I was very slow to see this, I admit, was a real over-reliance on the public sector and I think a chronic underappreciation of the private sector. And by that, I mean entrepreneurs. And I think going forward, what we're seeing now in some ways is healthy. I think it's been devastating. It's hurt everybody, I think, in some ways. But what we're seeing now is, frankly, a reconsideration and a new appreciation for the things that matter most, the things that help us all the most. And so what I'm doing now is really navigating clients and in public affairs and public relations through really getting back to core economic principles. And honestly, five years ago, I thought that we'd never be having this conversation. And I think in a lot of ways, for many people, it's sort of new knowledge.
Now, when you use the expression core economic principles, what do you mean by that?
Here's what I mean. I think that we're getting into sort of, I think, a new kind of economic literacy. I mean, my politics must be obvious. And I think that with that, like a lot of people in my business and my political background, comes a sort of core appreciation for business and entrepreneurs and the private sector and what we think is the best of the free enterprise system. And I think that what we got away from during the mass economic growth of starting maybe 17, 18 years ago, was I think we totally forgot that the private sector is what makes America grow and go, and the government sector can be a part of that, even a partner in controlled circumstances. But I think, frankly, we forgot. I'll make this point about being in the governor's office in California. When I got to the governor's office in California in 1991, when I was only seven, when I got there, the state budget in California, and I'm just take a second, the state budget in California, which is everything, every college, every school, every teacher, every prison, every UC system, every CSU, every person on social welfare, every person, every state park, every state land, all Caltrans, all the freeways, everything, agriculture, was $31 billion. Every single thing. Took 141 years from California's founding to get to $31 billion state budget. 4 years later, it was $60 billion. 4 years, it had doubled what it took 141 years to grow. I think in a lot of ways, public policy officials, and finally, I think some of the private sector sort of forgot that we went through unprecedented growth, and I think we did not nurture that the right way, and I think we find ourselves in that position today based on some mistakes we've made over this time. And the reconsideration I talked about is getting back to the kind of principles where we can see that kind of growth again. We can see that kind of private sector success again, because we've tried the other way and it simply can't work.
We kind of share the same politics a little bit. And in my opinion, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this statement that I'm going to make. Democrat philosophies are diametrically opposed to private sector expansion. Comment on that.
Yeah, without getting too partisan, I'll tell you sort of tracing my own experience. You know, when I was I think I started as most young people do on my side with a sort of intense and narrow view. And I like to think that the more I've learned and the more I've seen, I think I developed a new respect and appreciation for the public policy issues. And like I said, the realities that matter most. I think what I have seen, I think, and you talked about the political problems we have now and the political aspect too. I do think that some people on the who are Democrats or on the left of center on the spectrum have some suspicion of the free enterprise system and the private sector with its sense they think of inequality and things like that. And I've always respected and understood that. But what I think also is what we've seen is a lot of people, I think, who don't understand very much about it. And I think they sort of have gone their personal and political and professional lives not really knowing a lot about it. Now, I mean, if people who are very knowledgeable about economics and decide that they want to follow a Keynesian system or further than that, you know, I respect that. I disagree. But at least I understand where they're coming from. But I think a lot of people in public life don't have any exposure to even the base principles of these things. And I'll make a quote. The former Speaker of the California Assembly, which used to be a big position, a woman named Karen Bass, who's now in Congress, where I think she can do far less damage. Anyway, the former Speaker of the California Assembly said, "I came to Sacramento to expand social programs." And I say, mission accomplished. But the point is, I'm not trying to attack Karen Bass. I just mean to say, look, you can go to Sacramento to help people. You can go to Sacramento to give people a hand up. You can try to help people who are very hurting and try to enhance their lives. But the idea and the ideal of going into the state government to expand social programs first and everything else second, I think is symptomatic of where we find ourselves today. And so I'm not attacking or, you know, even questioning morally someone like Karen Bass and her attempt to change state government policy to where it expands only social programs. But we find ourselves now in a position where that is what we have done. And I think we're seeing the de-stimulative effect, which in some ways that can hurt all of us.
I agree with that. And by comparison, and we're not here, again, to pick on anybody. We're not trying to be partisan. We're trying to analyze the situation so we can get America back on the right track. But the reality is President Obama comes from a similar background. He does not come from one of economics and working in the workplace and running businesses. So let me throw you a softball. In general, very top level, how would you evaluate the president's first 3 years in office?
Well, I think it's been a pretty rocky road. And there's no question that Obama comes into office at a time of, and you would understand this better than me or certainly almost anybody else, some dramatic and drastic economic conditions that we have not seen. Certainly in our lifetimes, or maybe even going back further, and you're talking about a new depression now. And I think a significant questioning and frankly, a supreme lack of confidence in the American economic system. But I think that the course that the president has followed, I think, is one that is very interesting from a very fascinating, I think, as we've seen, frankly, a scientific study of what short-term economic stimulus measures have to the larger national economy. And I think that this has been a little bit seductive because, you know, we have so much real-time impact in our lives, right? Email and texting and even you and I texting back and forth real-time. I think then some people in public policy have gotten to the point where they think they can have real-time impact on a $14 trillion economy. And so I think the course that the president has followed from the stimulus, cash for clunkers, cash for quackers, increased social programs, trying to inflate the housing market now he even talks about job programs. You know, these are all essentially short-term plans. And I think because we have, I think, long-term problems and severe long-term conditions, I have to wonder if there was any way for Obama's moves to succeed.
Interesting, which kind of segues perfectly into my next question. In a couple of days,
that's the way we do it here.
I know, and you're not even referring to notes. I mean, this is great. In a couple of days, President Obama is going to be releasing a new plan that is going to try to address jobs here in America. Do you have any insight at all, or are you hearing anything behind the scenes of what might be included in that? Because I think I'm going to be shocked at whatever I hear come out of his mouth.
You're going to be shocked. It's all going to be surprising?
Yes, it's going to be surprising in the sense that for someone who comes at the problem without any knowledge base at all, how he is going to propose economic reform and whether or not he is going to drive any money or stimulus of any kind at all into the private sector in order to resolve the job creation problem. I'm going to be fascinated by how he is going to do that coming from a weak knowledge base.
Well, I think you're going to get some rhetorical salutes that way, but I think look, this is not an economic plan. This is a political speech that is related to economics. And I think that everyone's talking about a jobs plan. I think we've been going through that here in California, which, by the way, has significantly higher unemployment than the nation as a whole. I think that this is where the politics, I think, tangles with the entrepreneurial system, and I think, and again, goes to that sort of true lack of awareness, or I would even say economic illiteracy that I spoke of before. We do not have a bad economy because we have a jobs problem. We have a jobs problem because we have a bad economy. So addressing jobs specifically is classically putting the cart before the horse, and can only redound into short-term ideas and ideals like the president is going to talk about. What the president is going to talk about is essentially this. You can guarantee that there will be one surprise you haven't been expecting, which will be his one concession to free market principles, whether that's going to be whether he thinks it'll be a payroll tax cut, trade agreements, even talking about the suspension of some rules and regulations from last week, something like that. Then it will include the call for a sort of public-private partnership, a jobs bank, an industrial bank, something like that. And then it will go then to the other extreme, which is full-throated government support for people, individuals, and that can be in social welfare, education, and the like. So it's going to be, in that sense, sort of, you know, classically the touching all the pressure points of how we think about these things politically and how we think about them in the economic political conversation, which I think is, you know, definitely tangled. And so the specifics, frankly, are secondary to the presentation. I have to wonder also, having been a speechwriter, of course, I think speeches are very important. At a certain point, they are secondary to the policy and the words themselves. And I think the grandeur, the theater, is overtaking Obama in the specifics. And I think that is why this speech this week, I think, is going to be of definitely, you know, limited benefit for him.
Jonathan, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. We need to take a very short break. I'm going to ask you to please stay on. This is fascinating. We're going to talk about some of the Republican candidates when you come back and what their effects might be if they had the opportunity to become president of the United States. We're on Talk Zone, and we're going to be back in just a second.